How true it is. Lord, you raise me up. You raise each one of us up. We don't realize sometimes just how far he has brought us up. We have a tendency to compare ourselves to one another. People in the world, Christians, whatever. We have a tendency to compare with each other. When you try and talk to somebody about the Lord and forgiving sins and everything, some people respond, "Ooh, I'm not a sinner. I don't do these things, you know. I'm fine, I'm good." The problem is, we should be comparing ourselves to God and His standards. And then we realize just how far down the fall brought us. The original sin, when sin came into the world. We don't realize how far we fell. But Scripture tells us, I'll put the first one up here, from Isaiah, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." That was our state because of the fall. Our righteousness in God's eyes like filthy rags. And yet sometimes, you know, people think, "Hey, I'm fine. I do things right and everything." That's not the way God sees things. God is so much higher than us, and you know, we fell so far down. But yet, because of His love, He raises us up, brings us up. Next one. Yeah, but as many as received Him, receiving Him and understanding our sinful nature and confessing that before God and saying, "Lord, I need a Savior. I need You. I can't save myself." So when we receive Him in that way, it says, "To them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." So from being nothing and all our righteousness as filthy rags, He now says, "You have the right to become children of God." If that isn't being raised up, I don't know what is. It's a wonderful thing that He has done. But it goes even further, though. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." And Abba is just a, it's like saying daddy, okay, in that language. That's how God looks at us and treats us, with such loving concern and care. He's not some stern dictator, but He comes and embraces us, and we can call Him daddy. Boy. "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." So now we are heirs, joint heirs with Christ. What are we heirs to? The kingdom of God. We are heirs to that. The kingdom belongs to us now because we have been adopted into the family of God. Granted, we haven't seen the kingdom in its fullness yet. We see glimpses of it. Whenever God moves in a special way, we feel His love, we see a miracle that He performs. We see glimpses of the kingdom. Someday we will see it in its fullness when He returns. And everything, the new heavens, the new earth, or before He returns, if we go to heaven to be with Him, we will then see just how magnificent and beautiful and and glorified. The kingdom is, and we are heirs. It says, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Christ suffered for us. So if there's some suffering in this world for us, that's nothing compared to what he endured. But the kingdom is ours. We are heirs. Next. Then from Galatians, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. When we first come to Christ, we are a child of his. We don't know anything about his ways. We need to be taught. So yes, we are under guardians and stewards until we come into, let's say, adulthood in God's eyes, that he can entrust us to the kingdom with his power and with his glory. So we need to be taught. Just as in the real world, a king and a queen have a child, that child is an heir, but doesn't know anything about how to rule and reign within that kingdom and needs to be taught. Even though that child is an heir, everything belongs to that child. That child needs to grow up to become an adult, to become mature enough to handle the responsibilities. And it's the same way with us. God is continually working in us with these guardians and teachers and whatever to train us to be mature enough so that we can truly inherit everything in the kingdom and even function down here with God's power and authority. But we haven't quite gotten there yet, but we're getting closer. Okay. Then from Ephesians, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Spiritually speaking, he has raised us up to sit with him in heavenly places. A little more clearer is the next scripture. To him who overcomes, from Revelation, to him or her who overcomes, and hopefully all of us are indeed overcomers, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So Jesus overcame, ascended to heaven, sitting on the throne with the Father. And we will be granted to sit with him on his throne. If that isn't being raised up from where we were at the fall and to where we were before we came to Christ, that's an amazing thing, let me tell you. From as far down as we were, now to be able to sit with Christ on his throne. He's our brother now. We're a child of God, heirs with him. Truly, he has raised us up. That's our destiny. Seated on the thrones with God. That's how much he loves us. We will judge angels. In other words, we will have authority over angels. It has never been spoken of angels that they can sit on the throne with Jesus or with God the Father. But we have that privilege. Angels will be subject to us. We will rule and reign. We are now royalty. What an amazing demonstration of love and concern and care for us now as children of God. Oh, as the song said, you raise me up to sit on mountains, to walk on stormy seas, to do all manner of wonderful things. That's what God wants us to be able to do if we truly trust in Him and believe Him. But that's on the spiritual side. What about the natural side? Us living in the world that we exist in right now. What about that? We know what our destiny is. Again, that's yet to come, and that's on spiritually speaking. What about us, our day-to-day living and everything? It also applies to us too. He raises us up to be more than we can be by ourselves. Jesus himself said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's true. He's the vine, we're the branches. We derive our life from him, the true vine. We derive our strength, everything from him. Our skills, our talents, our knowledge, our wisdom, everything comes from him. But yet, we can do nothing. But he wants us to be more than what we can be by ourselves. We can make every effort. We can try and gain as much knowledge as we can, as much influence, as much wealth or whatever. But that's nothing. God wants to empower us to be more than anything that we could be in our own strength. I don't know if I ever told this to anybody before. Well, certainly within the congregation. I may have mentioned it to other people. But after I had gotten laid off from Xerox, this was back in 81 or 82, I don't remember exactly when. It's far enough back, I put it out of my mind, you know. I got a job in Oklahoma City. Moved away from here. My late wife and family, and we moved down there. We only spent a year down there because she couldn't adapt to that particular area. It's nothing against her, it's just the way it was. But in any event, while we were down there, we were attending a church of believers, and I remember one day the pastor made a kind of an altar call. It wasn't to get saved, because basically everybody in the church was saved. But I think it might have been, you know, you need prayer, you have concerns, things that you're asking God to deal with in your life, whatever. So he was asking people to come forward who wanted to be prayed for. And I can remember so vividly back then, because I've mentioned this to you in the past, that I was always so introverted and timid. Just the way I was. I wanted to go up, but I couldn't. I was just too fearful. Why? I don't know. I mean, what's the big deal about walking up the aisle, you know? But I always hated to draw attention to myself. That's why I never wanted to be in a church play, a school play or anything like that. Participating in sports, always afraid of making a fool out of myself and whatever. And that's the way I always was. I never wanted attention drawn to myself. So I just froze. I just couldn't go up. And I asked my wife, I said, would you go with me? It's the only way I could do it, if she went with me. And she did. So very shyly and timidly I went forward and everything. And then I fast forward to the present time, let's say. And I think about the difference, what I was back then and what I'm able to do now. And it's all because he raised me up. Not that I'm anything, you know, to make a big deal out of or anything, and I'm not saying that I am, but I'm certainly not boasting in myself or anything. But I would never have been able to do this, to stand up in front of people and speak. It was all God. And it's so true. He raised me up to be more than I can be. I could never be this on my own. He did it. But he wants to do the same for each one of his children, to raise each one of you up to be more than you could be on your own. And you just need to realize that and say, okay, yes, Lord, whatever you want, make of me what you would. Give me the strength, the ability, even the desire to not just be comfortable, you know, where I'm at. We always need to be going forward. The Lord, you know, it's just like when you plant a garden, okay? You plant the seeds and they grow. But they keep growing. They don't stay the same. They keep growing through the various stages of development and until finally they pass on in their own way. But they grow. God wants us to always be growing. He never wants us to stand still, never wants us to stagnate, to stay in our comfort zones, because that's not growing. God has so much for his children. He wants us to always be growing. He wants to make of us something spectacular, a masterpiece, because he is the master, and he wants to create something wonderful in each one of our lives, if we let him. That doesn't mean we're going to go on and I don't know, maybe just using me as an example again. It doesn't mean that I'm going to go on and be a pastor of some mega church. I'm not looking to do that. I'm just looking to be what he wants me to be, to continue to grow and learn and come into his fullness, whatever that means. And he hasn't entirely revealed that yet. He wants to do the same for each one of you. We should never be satisfied with where we're at. There's always more to learn. There's always more to do. There's no such thing as retirement in God's kingdom. There isn't. No matter what state we're in, we can always pray. Even if we can't physically do something, we can pray. That's why I say there's no retirement. There's always something that God would have us to do. But the point is, he wants to do something in each one of us, to enrich our lives, to give us that abundant life. And it may take us in some odd direction at some point in time. It may mean we have to get out of our comfort zone and do something that we wouldn't ordinarily do, you know, if we had our own way. But that's part of growth. That's what makes us grow. We have new experiences. We see God in new ways and different ways. He empowers us and strengthens us and gives us joy and peace and new vibrant life. That's what it's all about. So indeed, he does want to raise each one of us up to something higher, to be something and someone that we could never be on our own. So just open yourselves up to him. Say, Lord, what would you have me be? What would you have me do? Show me. Be willing to step out of your comfort zone. It may not be easy, but the end result is wonderful. And like I said, comparing my life back to what it was back then, what a difference he has made in my life. And again, it's no way bragging because I didn't do anything. But just being able to stand before you and speak from my heart like this, I could never have done that on my own. Never. God is able to do far beyond anything that we could ever imagine. We just need to open ourselves up. So I want to encourage you, allow him to make you more than you could be. Praise God. Say yes to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what an awesome God you are. And how much love you have for each one of your children. And you want to make princes and princesses of each one of us, to rule and reign with you and to be able to sit with you on your throne. Oh, Lord, what a sight. What an experience. What a blessing that you love us that much. You took us out of the miry clay and lifted us up, raised us up, Lord, to be your children, your adopted children. Oh, God. We thank you for that. But we also ask you, Lord, work in our lives, grow us, mature us, teach us your ways, Lord, that we can be more here on earth as well. Raise us up further, Lord, that others may see the light you have placed in us, to see Jesus in us. Thank you, Lord. Make it so, Father. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.